The following hour is brought to you by MidasResources.com, your trusted source for precious metals since 1996. Call Midas today at 1-800-686-2237.
Is no, I'm not removing McCullough. Yes, I am removing McCullough, but get it done. Our target date is hopefully by the middle of October.
All right, the voice you heard right there was Robert McCullough. He is the prosecutor, and guess what? He has not been removed, and we're talking about Ferguson, Missouri. 26,000 signatures to ditch McCullough, and that's where we begin America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. So Ferguson, Missouri, 2 days in a row, no Molotov cocktails. Whew. Thank goodness, right? It has been a nightmare. There's massive mistrust of the police, and there's problems with the people in Ferguson. We're going to talk about something that may rock your world coming up here in this hour of America Tonight with Jim Lowen, who is going to talk about sundown towns and what that means. Sundown towns, when they were established, how it changed in the late 60s and early 70s, and what part it plays in our culture today. Ferguson, is it a sundown town? You'll find out coming up shortly here on America Tonight. So, will McCullough remain in place or not? It certainly is looking like he probably will. The reason that there was some protests and angst about him being the prosecutor is because he has a lot of ties to the boys and women in blue. His father was a cop and sadly was killed when he was 12 by a black man. And he has a massive amount of family members who were cops, and he wanted to be one but lost his leg to cancer when he was a kid. So went on to go to law school instead and end up being a prosecutor. Eric Holder is on the ground in Ferguson, and he said he understands mistrust of police. Wow, so what's that all about? And fleshing that out, that's not very helpful, I would say, but is it due to the investigation that he feels that they've uncovered some of that? And he met with community leaders across the board, FBI agents, parents of many in the community, parents of the 18-year-old who was shot and killed, you know, Michael Brown. And this all happened back on August 9th, and it's been more than a week of protests, a couple of quiet nights. So Holder on the ground looking at what he's saying is possible violations of federal civil rights statutes. He says that it'll be a thorough and fair investigation. And before he met with Brown's parents, he said he hoped his visit would have a calming influence on the area. So, I mean, like it or not, because I am not, admittedly, a Holder fan at all, he is the top cop in the country, the top law enforcement officer. So will that have any bearing on what's gone on there? So far it's been calm, but it was calming down before he got there. So anyway, the St. Louis grand jury is preparing to get the evidence on Brown's killing, how Ferguson has become, you know, all of a sudden this international symbol of racial inequality and what some people are saying is heavy-handed police enforcement and tactics. Or is it no? This is what they're doing, and it's being blown up. So there is massive emotions over this. There's no in-between. There are a lot of rubberneckers that have come in from other parts of the country, and sadly, I think that's part of the problem. That was part of the whole Molotov cocktail thing and, you know, people that weren't even from the area. So lots of issues are being raised. Tons of issues are bubbling up in Ferguson. So another night of calm, that part's good no matter what. Darren Wilson is a person that, as an officer, was decorated, and now it's a question of what happened with the six shots and what are the specifics of it and what are witnesses saying and what's been overheard. We've talked about all of this here on America Tonight. There are people that are raising money for Wilson, and so far it's up to almost $50,000. The Missouri governor, because I'm just giving these little nuggets of information, the Missouri governor, Jay Nixon, who is a Democrat, urged vigorous prosecution, he said, in a statement that was released yesterday. He asked Holder and the county prosecutor to use the attorney general's trip to investigate the death thoroughly, promptly, and correctly. Well, let's hope that that happens. I mean, no matter how you slice this, does anyone not want it to be done that way? Of course, that makes sense. And the prosecutor who you heard at the top, Bob McCullough, whose father was killed, as I mentioned, more than 50 years ago, he has a lot of people coming out and supporting him. A lot of people are saying that that he's a good guy and it shouldn't, he shouldn't be being attacked. And there, this thing with the signatures and everything, it's not fair because despite things that people might assume about him, it's not true that he's always been a thorough investigator and very, very good at what he does. So all this stuff about investigating, ultimately the grand jury, we may start to hear some more details as to, you know, what happened in Ferguson. And there's lots of sets of eyes were on this, and a lot of different people have a few different takes on what they saw. Charging at Wilson, walking away from Wilson. I mean, even in a taped conversation, you could hear, and we've already talked about this too, you could hear two people that were witnesses talking about Michael Brown and saying that he came back after the cop who was his Wilson. So if he's trying to reach for the gun, that kind of, that certainly corroborates what he's saying. And I think it'll probably play out that way for sure. Many of you have had many things to say about this story and also the beheading of the journalist James Foley. It's just an eerie thing, very sad. I can't imagine how deeply this has affected his family. You can't even begin to imagine, I don't think. But they did, the new piece of news that a lot of people are digesting, and this isn't a surprise. I sort of had heard this but couldn't verify it, and I'm not surprised by this. There were special forces that were trying to free Foley and another journalist that's being held, but were they not at the location that they were told in Syria? They went there. The Pentagon said that there were dozens of special forces that landed inside Syria at the location that the intelligence had indicated where they were being held, but were they too late? What was it that happened? You know, those details we don't know, but there have been now massive airstrikes as a result of that. And it's just absolute evil what's going on here. Absolute evil. And we're weighing sending up to 300 troops to Iraq more for security. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind ISIS needs to be eliminated. Good luck with 100%, but why don't we get close? Recruiting young kids, having them behead people. Yeah, it's wrong, it's scary, and we don't want this in our backyard, that's for sure. Stay with us, 855-266-5283+. We'll check the mailbag coming up around the bend. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30%, while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us, and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
I didn't believe it.
Neither did I.
No way could you professionally remove unwanted hair, pain-free, and at home.
My thoughts exactly.
Remove my face and body hair without expensive, painful office visits?
Not possible. Great minds think alike.
Until I tried No-No Pro.
Mm-hmm. Wait, you tried No-No?
Yes, and it works. I use it on my face, legs, bikini line.
We're BFFs, and you didn't tell me about No-No?
Here, this is my new No-No Pro. The most powerful No-No made. Custom treatment levels, less hair in less time, perfect for any skin type. Try it.
No hair, no pain, no time. Consuming expensive office visits?
No, no, and no, no.
For a limited time, you can try No No Pro risk free. You'll also get the facial kit and a travel case. Get weeks of long lasting results.
That's it. I'm getting a No No.
Great minds do think alike.
Try No No Pro risk free by calling 800-952-5760. 800-952-5760. That's 800-952-5760. 800-952-5760.
Of the people, whether it's Jack, Dan, Izzy, Pete, Ray, whoever it is that's calling in, or Jake, who frequently emails this show, and so many of the new people that have jumped on board. Let me emphasize this again. I don't care if you're left of left, right of right, or somewhere in between. America Tonight, to me, is a place where you can feel safe and we can have a conversation, right? We might be on different ends of the map as far as what we're talking about, but that's cool. That's what we want to do. It is about the conversation. It's not about shutting it out. So you can always throw in your two cents, and even if you have No Label for yourself, wouldn't that be something? There is a group called No Labels. Anyway, 855-266-5283. 855-266-5283. How would you feel about full-on boots on the ground to wipe out ISIS, as Congressman Pete King says? And I'd have to agree, anything we can do to get rid of ISIS would be in the right direction. They should have been nipped or taken more seriously, I think, from the start. That's the idea about intelligence gathering. When you see something that looks like the worst radical group that you've seen in a long time, especially when we're talking about the Middle East and getting Westerners to jump on board and recruiting in England, You got to pay attention. You got to do it fast. Everything is happening so quickly now that when you get the opportunity, you have to kick that door in. And maybe that's it. Are we a step behind? We're just too slow on the trigger. We're not sharing enough information again between the agencies. I don't know. But they got to shake up the equation and do something about it, and they have to do it quickly. Otherwise, it arrives in our backyard, and none of us want that. I was there in New York, 9/11. I know what it was like to live through that, go over the bridge, have the bridge shut down, worry about what's going on. I mean, are we getting bombed? Are people coming after us? What's happening? Couldn't believe it. And still, it's horrible to see those pictures. And how many times did I go with my mother and see all of those photographs and flyers about somebody was missing, and you knew nobody was finding anyone. You know, the planes were in the building, boom, that was it. And the same thing looking at the Pentagon, and I'm sure for the people who, and I didn't see this, but who saw Shanksville, I'm sure it was is just as awful. And when you think it's behind you, all of a sudden it could be back in front of you again, and certainly none of us want that. All right, on that note, let's head to the mailbag.
You have mail, mistress.
Thank you very much. This one is from Bernie, who says, Rocket Sister, love the show, love the hardcore, liked some of those callers, they cracked me up. And I have to tell you that I think what's happened to James Foley is just absolutely disgusting. There are no words that I can write in this email to you that you can actually read on the air. I think it's unfathomable to think that a journalist would be beheaded that way. I mean, of everything that they could do, one thing to kidnap, one thing to force to read something, one thing to do, you know, other things as far as leaving someone in a cell and whatnot, but to actually behead somebody so barbarically. And I think we both know the reason they do that is because it is so much the antithesis of the life that we value, and they know it. Well, I agree with that. Absolutely. They know it. They know that to us that is the worst possible thing that you can imagine and barbaric and outrageous, and we wouldn't do it. We wouldn't slit anyone's throat. For goodness sake, we did waterboarding, and we know what led to that. The conversations over waterboarding and what would happen and information from Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. You know, that. Imagine. I can't even imagine. So we move on to another one. This one from Gregory, who says, Kate, I've emailed the show a couple of times. It's been a while since I've emailed you. I'm so disappointed in the people in Ferguson. And what's even more disappointing, and I think you've mentioned it a couple times, if you really look deeper, especially in some of the recent arrests, they aren't even people from Ferguson. So now you have outsiders coming in, causing problems, getting arrested, and making it look like or seem to other people that it's the people in Ferguson. This just keeps us stuck in the middle of racism. And I love it when people say they're not racist when deep down they are. How can we live in a country as great as America and not treat each other like Americans? I don't understand, but maybe I'm naive. I grew up in California. There was no color in my family. I went to school with kids of all races and all kinds of people, and it wasn't an issue, and it hasn't been an issue for me, and I'm shocked at some of the places that I've seen that I've traveled to. I can't believe I'm living in the United States. Well, there's no doubt that there are a lot of different thoughts and opinions and whatnot in different places in the country. We, you know, we're a mosaic of a melting pot of different peeps. And here's the thing, your perspective is altered by how you were raised or what you've seen growing up, right? I mean, it's whatever your experiences are. It's like I say, you live in the, I mean, wouldn't we all like to live in this ideal bubble where love is love and isn't it wonderful and everybody's happy and the neighbors are fantastic and the dog is well groomed and we're going to the baseball games and we're rooting for our favorite team. And it's like we live in Pleasantville, but we have a little more personality, let's say. But that's not life, you know, and it depends on where you live and your experiences as to how you see through your lens. And often we don't like the reflection sometimes when we dig a little bit deeper. Okay, let's move on. This one from Rose who says, Kate, I have to tell you, I have been listening to the show for a long time. I really, really like it. And I think, and I just tuned in and heard something. And I have to say, normally, I think Jack, who calls in with that cool accent, seems like an interesting guy, even though we are politically complete opposites. I am more of an embracing person than I think he is. And he said many times he labels himself as a conservative, and I am not. But I think it's outrageous when he's talking about to just kill Muslims. You have to be kidding me. We live in the United States. Perhaps in Australia they don't think that way. But if you want to live in the United States, it's called some tolerance. We tolerate our neighbors to be of different religions and different colors and different genders. What kind of world would it be if we only had people that were similar to ourselves? And I do, by the way, appreciate and understand the difference between someone who is a downright jihadist versus somebody who's of the Muslim faith. And to say that anybody of the Muslim faith should be booted or killed is absolutely ridiculous. He did take a hardcore tone with that, but this is what I say. I appreciate that. It's about the opinions. It's about how you feel. And so thank you for putting balance on your side. And I if you think of Muslims in this country, if you want to think of famous ones, Shaquille O'Neal, Dr. Oz. Oh, people love Dr. Oz. They tape him. They listen to what he has to say about medicine. He got the blessing of Oprah Winfrey. She started him on the path, and he's, you know, really taken off. And he is a practicing Muslim. He's a Turkish-American Muslim, I guess. Omar Epps, who doesn't really talk a lot about his religion, is a Muslim, as far as I know, as far as I've been told. And Janet Jackson converted to Islam. So, there's examples. And Muhammad Ali, of course, would we just push them all out of the country? And the answer is no. But I do think that people who are, if I'm of the Muslim faith and I'm seeing this and I'm asked questions about it, or I want to come out to my community and say, listen, this is not to be tolerated. This is not my religion. This is not my Quran. I don't know these people. I'm not endorsing this. I don't believe in this. Blah, blah, blah. We haven't seen too much of that. And I think that's probably part of the problem and plays into it. All right. Get ready to be rocked. Get ready to be rocked. Coming up next, Jim Lowen talking about these towns, sundowner towns, next on America Tonight.
Whoa! This is big!
By popular demand, the Freeze Dry Guys Giant Factory Authorized Sale has been extended. Now through August, save 30 to 45% on number 10 cans of high-quality Mountain House freeze-dried foods from the Freeze Dry Guy. Now is the time to stock up on all factory fresh stock of the finest, best-tasting, longest-proven shelf-life foods in the industry at giant savings of 30 to 45%. But hurry, supplies are limited, so this sale is only through the end of August. Call 866-404-3666. Free shipping to the lower 48 states. Click freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguide.com. Hurry! The Giant Factory Authorized Mountain House Sale with savings of 30 to 45% is extended through August from the Freeze Dry Guy. The finest freeze-dried and dehydrated foods available anywhere for long-term storage.
Free from the shackles of corporate America, we're the place for independent thinkers. GCN.
Question: could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer: yes. If you're searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro EM1 from Terraganics. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganix.com, spelled TERRAGANIX.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro-EM1 from Terraganix. Life's getting better.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document? Worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average over 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
If you need to say happy birthday, happy anniversary, thank you, or simply, I'm thinking of you, ProFlowers.com is the key. ProFlowers has stunning bouquets, like the best-selling 100 blooms for $19.99. Plus, ProFlowers will include a glass vase for free. Sending someone a wonderful surprise of beautiful flowers sent fresh from the field is easy. Choose the bouquet you like, pick the delivery date, and each order is 100% guaranteed. Plus, all bouquets from ProFlowers are guaranteed to last at least 7 full days. Beautiful, fragrant flowers, picked fresh and sent to your loved one for lasting enjoyment. To get this incredible savings and send someone 100 gorgeous blooms with a free vase for $19.99, go to ProFlowers.com. Click the blue microphone in the top right corner and enter code PLOW. That's ProFlowers.com. Click the mic and enter code PLOW.
My eyes have seen the beauty of a land bright and fair. My soul looked out and wondered, can we make the journey there? But I've lost my sight, and I have to be late. Well, I mean to work for justice till I'm dead gone. Sundown town, don't let them get you, buddy, when the sun goes down.
We've been talking about Ferguson, Missouri, and what's been happening. We'll catch you up on a lot of those details with the prosecutor, what's going to happen with the grand jury. And, of course, nothing's expected to come out of that until probably October. And some of the latest things that we've found out, and ultimately here in America tonight, as many of you listening in the nooks and crannies across the nation know, we've really segued into a race conversation and to what's happened in Ferguson, and what have we seen in other towns, and what are we seeing? Jim Lowen is a great guy to have on the show to talk about that. He actually taught race relations for 20 years at the University of Vermont, and he's the author of Sundown Towns, A Hidden Dimension of American Racism. And I want to find out about those sundown towns. Jim, thanks for coming on the show.
I'm pleased to be with you.
So tell us what a sundown town is, and is Ferguson one of those?
Sure. A sundown town is a community that for decades, and some still do, was all white on purpose. Now, as soon as I say that, I have to qualify it a little bit. Some of these towns actually allowed one black family to live in them. I call these the exception that exemplifies the rule. And also, sundown suburbs typically allowed black families to be live-in servants. But that didn't violate the taboo. The taboo was against letting black folks live on their own in these towns. Now, a lot of people don't realize this. I had no idea when I went to research it that how prevalent these towns were, and to some degree still are, between 1890 and 1940, all kinds of communities across the North, it's a northern phenomenon, went sundown. That is, they drove out their black population, or if they already didn't have a black population, they took steps formally or informally to make sure that they wouldn't get any. Sundown suburbs a little bit later, they came about 1905 to 1968. And maybe we should talk about Ferguson.
Wow. Yeah, no kidding. So Ferguson falls into that crack, you're saying, right?
Well, kind of. Ferguson, it turns out, had a small black community all the way back to the Civil War. A lot of sundown suburbs did, or, you know, many suburbs, for that matter, were nothing but farm areas before they became a suburb. And sometimes they had black farmers in those areas. But after about 1905, many of these towns started pressuring their black folks, and we see evidence that that's exactly what Ferguson did. Let me tell you just about the numbers. In 1940, Ferguson had just under 6,000 people, maybe something like 5,800. Now, by 1960, that's just 20 years later, Ferguson has exploded in size to over 22,000. So it's grown by a factor of four. Meanwhile, the black community of St. Louis has doubled. It's gone from 150,000 black folks in the St. Louis area to just under 300,000 by 1960. So, with all this growth in Ferguson and all this growth of the black community, Ferguson in 1940 had 38 black folks, but by 1960, that population was down to just 15. So 60% had been cold-shouldered out. And here's the tactics they used to do it. First of all, they put a chain across the main street that connected Ferguson to the little black suburb just to its west, a town called Kinloch, Missouri. Now, that chain made it impossible to drive directly on that road from Kinloch to Ferguson. You could still get into Ferguson if you went a little more roundabout. But, of course, it signaled, and its existence just sat there signaling to black folks, we don't want you. The second thing they did was realtors just didn't show homes to black would-be purchasers. And the third thing they did, we saw evidence of just in the last 11 days, and that is DWB-type policing. And, of course, I mean driving while black. And this is typical. That is, sundown suburbs did a lot of that, still do. So in the late 60s and early 70s, the dam breaks. And we all know that, of course, at this point, Ferguson is not a sundown town. It's majority black, for heaven's sakes.
Yeah.
But it still suffers from what we call in sociology second-generation sundown town problems, most prominent of which is an overwhelmingly white police force. I believe it's 47 white folks and 3 black folks.
Sure.
And DWB attitudes on that force.
And but how can you prove there's DWB attitudes? Because I know the phone lines are just going to explode, Jim, over that. So
well,
because of the history and what the makeup of the town is?
Yes, but also there's considerable evidence for what really hit me upside the head about by now, a week ago, maybe, or 5 days ago. There's a Washington, I live in Washington, D.C. There's a Washington Post reporter who is African, who happens to be African American. Well, he doesn't exactly just happen to be African American. The Washington Post has some intelligence. They know if you're going to go cover a largely black crowd scene, maybe you ought to send a black reporter.
Mm-hmm.
This is just common sense. In fact, I've been telling people that way back in 1967, Vicksburg, Mississippi, a town I was in 1967, a town I was doing sociological research in 1967, Vicksburg knew enough that if there was a disturbance in a neighborhood in Vicksburg, they would ask whoever phoned in the disturbance, is it white folks or black folks? And if it was white folks, they'd send white cops. And if it was black folks, they'd send black cops. Well, of course, Ferguson simply can't do that because it doesn't have any black cops to speak of. So that's just incompetent policing. But the Washington Post sent a black reporter, and he filed a story. I heard him talk about it, and then I read his story in the Post. He was kind of hanging out in McDonald's with another black reporter from a different news service. They were doing some email. They were probably nursing their coffee. And the police come in, and they decide to close McDonald's. Exactly why and how that would help, not known. So they order everybody out, and this reporter starts to leave. He asks courteously, may I take a minute to get my stuff? And he's picking up his stuff. And what then happens is the police treat him so rudely and so brusquely and give him contradictory orders and so on that they wind up arresting him and holding him overnight in jail. And the biggest crime you could maybe call him guilty of is sitting in a booth in McDonald's. So that's an example of DWB-type policing that was just going on last week.
Wow. And when you talk about the towns and all of the work that you did and being there in Vicksburg, were you surprised at what you found? I mean, how do you crack that code? Because, you know, then the other people will say, well, listen, I mean, we're trying to invite black officers to be part of the force, but they've got to pass the test because, you know, that's one of the things that was being told to us about Ferguson. So,
well, you've asked a complex question, both about standardized testing and also about how do I know a town is sundown? Are those your two questions?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. When I first started to do, I'll answer the second question first. When I first started to do research on sundown towns, I had no idea what I had bitten off. I grew up in Decatur, Illinois, which is an industrial city about 120 miles northeast of Ferguson and northeast of St. Louis. Decatur had its race relations problems, but it was nothing like a sundown town, of course. I thought I would find maybe 10 sundown towns in Illinois, maybe 50 across the country. As I say, I had no idea. I had various aha experiences while doing this research. I'm now at a count of 506 sundown towns just in Illinois, 70% of all the communities that there are in Illinois. And I think a similar percentage occurred in Michigan, in Oregon, and in various other northern states. Now, how did I know they were sundown? Well, they have to not just be overwhelmingly white. They have to be overwhelmingly white on purpose, which means I have to find good evidence that something, for example, that something bad. Let me give you an example. Do you have time for an example?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Okay. So I was interviewing a woman. She happened to be the librarian and also a former member of the city council in a very small town, a town of about 500 in central Illinois. Usually I never bothered with towns that small. But in this case, somebody had told me that they thought it was a sundown town and so on. And she had already agreed that she thought it was a sundown town. But that didn't convince me, just her saying that. And, of course, lots of people don't know the term. The question is, did she agree? Yes, we did keep out black folks. But here's what she then proceeded to tell me. I said, did you ever have a black classmate? She said, no, I never did. She said, I went to school for 13 years, county kindergarten, and not only did I never have a black classmate, but furthermore, there was never a black in the entire school system. So it must have been a sundown town. Well, that doesn't prove it was a sundown town. All that proves is the demography, which I already knew. But then she said the following. I take that back. When I was in seventh grade, I did have a black classmate for about a week. Now, that's very interesting. Very few families move into a town, go through all the bureaucratic hoops to register their kid in the public schools for a week. So that's already beginning to be evidence. And so then I asked her, well, did you ever hear that there was any trouble? And she said, well, yes, there was a fire. But then they should have expected something like that because it was a sundown town. Now, I consider right there, that proves it, that it was a sundown town. It turns out that I got another confirmation from the city attorney, so there's no doubt in that case. And that's what I did all across the North, all across America, to prove that these towns were, in fact, all white on purpose, not just by accident.
Yeah. Hold on a second. Jim, can you spend a few more minutes with us?
Yes.
All right, hang on.
Five.
Okay, hang on just a second. We're speaking with Jim Lowen, and we're talking about sundown towns. We'll be right back in just a minute.
At 30dayfoodsupply.com, you can now purchase a one-of-a-kind product not available anywhere else, a meatless burger dry mix in four delicious flavors. With our new Oregon Trail Foods vegan burgers, all you do is add water and fry. They need no refrigeration. They're packaged in Mylar bags with an oxygen absorber for a long shelf life. They're non-GMO. They're gluten, soy, nut, and chemical-free, but they're loaded with flavor and a good source of carbs and protein, yet low in sodium. Flavors include Italian, spicy Mexican, six vegetable, and black bean olive. Go to 30dayfoodsupply.com or call 541-229-0010 and order today. Eat them every day, take them camping, or save them for an emergency. Check them out at 30dayfoodsupply.com and click on the vegan burger icon. That's 30dayfoodsupply.com, where all of our products are produced in Oregon by Oregon Trail Foods. 30dayfoodsupply.com.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
Virtually anyone can hack your cell phone and track your calls, your texts, your emails, your every movement, but only if they can detect a signal. Stay one step ahead of hackers and Big Brother with a Blockit Pocket, a custom-made pocket infused with pure silver that creates a complete Faraday enclosure for your cell phone. For free shipping to the Lower 48, visit BlockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. BlockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
We pick it back up again with Jim Lowen, and we're talking about race relations, and he studied this, he taught this at the University of Vermont, as I mentioned at the top, and he's the author of fascinating a book, Sundown Towns, A Hidden Dimension of American Racism. So, Jim, in talking about these sundown towns, what you found, all the research, things that really blew your mind, how bad is the situation in the United States? If somebody says, well, geez, there's not as much racism as people think, what would you say to that?
They could go spend some time in a sundown town. I mean, just among other things, the rhetoric in sundown towns is simply disgusting. The N-word is routinely used. Jokes are used that I don't have to be too high. I'm white, first of all,
right.
But I don't have to be too hypersensitive to say that this is a disgusting joke. I think I won't give you an example, but I figured out one on the tip of my tongue. But let me say this. Despite the fact that we had all these sundown towns across the country, I'm still an optimist. And the reason is I've got a couple of reasons. And I'm an optimist about Ferguson. I think that sundown towns are on their last legs. I think that every time one becomes notorious, and as I say, Ferguson wasn't quite a sundown town, but let me do what I can to make one notorious right here, and that would be Kenilworth, Illinois. Kenilworth is the richest and most prestigious suburb of Chicago, and it was formed in 1905 or 6 with several specific ordinances, one of which said, no Negroes and no Jews. It is now 2014, and in the 100 and whatever that is, 108 years or so since it was founded, Kenilworth has had exactly two black families, as best as I can tell. One lasted 3 months, and one lasted 12 years. It has not a single black family now, or at least it didn't in the 2010 census, and it didn't when I last talked to the realtor there. Not one, okay? And here it is, the most prestigious suburb of Chicago. Well, I would suggest that we all need to give places like Kenilworth the opposite of status. When somebody says, well, I've moved to Kenilworth, the response needs to be, oh, really? Oh, that's too bad. And of course, that will blow people's mind because it's supposed to be a great feather in your cap to have moved there.
Right.
Are you raising kids? You're not raising kids in a place like Kenilworth, are you? Because, of course, it's hard for kids to grow up in Kenilworth and the Kenilworths of America without becoming subtly racist, you know, especially because their parents don't tell them that Kenilworth is so white because we keep out black folks. They may not even know that, honestly. They tell them, well, those black folks just don't quite have the money. They don't quite have the social wherewithal yet. They're coming along. Which makes it the black folks' fault for not being in Kenilworth, despite the fact that there are literally thousands of black families in the Chicago area that have more income than the median income of Kenilworth. It is not black folks' fault. It's Kenilworth's fault. So I said I was an optimist. Well, I'm an optimist because I think most of these towns are on their last legs, and when they get publicity, they cave. And I think Ferguson, which is already not a sundown town, is in the process of caving in terms of its leftover sundown town policies. I would be amazed if the black population of Ferguson doesn't turn out and vote quite a bit more the next time they have a local election and vote in either black city officials or white city officials who have some connections with and identification with the black community so that they can get some better policing strategies and tactics in place.
Yeah, do you think, as you look at what happens with this officer, do you think he's going to be charged, or what do you think they'll do with the grand jury?
You know, I'm not going to make a comment about that. And the reason I'm not is because, I make this comment about why I'm not making a comment. It's just based on what I read in the paper, and you guys and your listeners read exactly what I read.
Yeah.
I really know what I'm talking about when I talk about sundown towns and race relations in general. But in this case, I don't know any more than you all, so yeah. I'm not going to pretend to. I will say that it's difficult to know because you don't want to bring somebody to trial unless you think you can convict.
Right.
So
that's
we're
true.
Just going to have to see what happens.
That's true. Hey, one last one before we let you fly. You know, in saying that you're an optimist and you gave us great reasons why, especially with Ferguson and whatnot, how about just the fact with the younger generation, are many of them being raised where they don't have that whole stereotype. They don't have stereotypes floating around in their heads. And I guess maybe that depends on where they're raised. So maybe that goes back to the same thing that we've been talking about.
It depends. For instance, I knew some kids who were raised in Darien, Connecticut. Now, Darien is the Kenilworth of New York City. It's very prestigious, very rich. And these white kids, of course, were worried about and kind of afraid to take the subway in New York City, for instance, even during the day. Well, I've taken the subway in New York City all over the place, you know, during the day and during the night. I don't take it at 3 a.m., but then I'm not up at 3 a.m. So that's still showing a stereotype, you know. And so it does depend on where you're raised. But, yes, I think that people under the age of 25 do have a willingness to think about these things. And so I am looking for change coming from the younger people.
Jim Lowen, thank you so much. The book is called Sundown Towns, A Hidden Dimension of American Racism. If people want to pick it up, they can get it on Amazon?
They can, and they can get it anywhere they want. It's any bookstore can get it.
Excellent. Thanks so much, Jim. Appreciate it.
I'm happy to talk with you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All right, so different perspective in the research that he's done, and interesting in talking about Ferguson and some of the comparisons, and you know, ultimately where we fall as far as racism is concerned. It's so hard to gauge that, and it's, you know, so often unfortunately, this it can cut either way, and many of you have expressed that you know, sometimes the automatically somebody throws out the race card, and it is not that in this hunt for labels. And then sometimes it is absolutely what is the underlying tension and the feeling that is so prevalent in an area. So I really think so much of what he just said there has to do with where, how you're raised, what you encounter, all of the things that I've mentioned before, and how so many people try to say that doesn't have an effect on them, but it does. And sometimes it can have an effect where it turns you in a, you know, flips you around in a different direction. It doesn't always have to be necessarily assumed that it's negative. So the positive, by the way, from Ferguson is the fact that it's been 2 days and there hasn't been the wild, crazy looting explosions and the things that we've seen before. And just to make it clear, because I've talked to a few people that have been in Ferguson, and we know Justin Duckham, who comes on the show, was just there. So many of the people that are causing the friction, by the way, are not from Ferguson. They're coming from other places. They threw some of the Molotov cocktails the last couple of nights. So a lot of the people that were arrested were from other parts of the country. They came in to Ferguson. And that makes a big difference with the protests, because if it's not the people themselves, they're not even from St. Louis, they're coming in from someplace else to jump into the fray, and they're immature, ridiculous, or decide they're going to loot and destroy and do something to property. Shame on them, obviously, but they're getting those people immediately right out of the crowd. So it stopped for the last 2 evenings, and hopefully that's the end of that. But there's still more to come here because of the grand jury and a few other things. So I think that in some way, even though the protests may stop temporarily, this has a chance to bubble back up in October, depending on what happens with the grand jury. So what a wild couple of weeks that it's been, not just here in the U.S. and some of the things that we're dealing with, but also obviously what we're seeing coming out of the Middle East and James Foley and the reaction to the video. And, you know, somebody said to me today, you know, how many people are watching the video? How many are, you know, because they have access to it, how many are hitting it, clicking, playing it? And isn't that what ultimately ISIS wants, to get the message out, to have more people watching it? And isn't that one of the downsides of social media? And I'd say, yeah, that would be absolutely a downside of social media. Thanks for listening to this hour of America Tonight.
The human body is extraordinary. Despite all the stresses we inflict upon it, it still works hard to stay in balance. Thousands upon thousands of people rely upon Heart and Body Extract to help their body stay balanced. This excellent 100% natural herbal formula helps maintain healthy blood pressure levels, cleans arteries, promotes good circulation, balances cholesterol, and more. HB Extract, paired with healthy lifestyle choices like good nutrition and exercise, can give you a life free of pain, sickness, and fear. Recapture your youthful vitality and experience your body healing itself with the aid of HB Extract. It's extremely effective and it starts working in just days. Visit HBExtract.com to learn more and to read scores of testimonials from satisfied customers. And we've never increased our price in over 10 years. That makes Heart and Body Extract as great a value now as it was the first day we sold it. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Call 866-295-5305 or go to HBExtract.com.